First of all, there's a unification of the energies of the conscious mind. You remember in the first simile, you've got two things. You've got water and you've got soap powder. There's a duality. There's a split. There's a division. But they're needed together. So first of all, one has a state or an experience of complete unification of the energies of the conscious mind. This is what the first jhana really represents. Once the negative emotions have been put out of the way, a unification of all the energies of the conscious mind on the conscious level. And then what happens? Next, the energies of the superconscious mind begin to penetrate into the unified conscious mind, begin to bubble up within it, as it were, as a sort of source of inspiration, as you like. And this is what is meant by the cool, clear, cold water bubbling up within the innermost recesses of the lake. It represents that trickling in, that percolating in, perhaps finally that pouring in of the superconscious energy, the superconscious forces, once one's energies have been unified on the level of the conscious mind. And next, these energies having started bubbling up within one, or pouring down into one, next, they take, as it were, complete possession. Just like the lotuses, being permeated by the water, their roots, their stems, their leaves, their flowers, their buds, everything permeated by the water. So in this third stage, the superconscious forces, the superconscious energies, coming from deep within, if you like, or coming from high up, if you like, they permeate. They transform, they transmute the energies of the conscious mind. And finally, they not only permeate, but they dominate. Not only dominate, but they enclose and they enfold. Just like the man who has taken his bath being enclosed and enfolded by the white sheet in which he swathes himself. You notice that in the second dhyana, the superconscious, in the form of the water flowing in from the outlet, is contained, just like a seed, to change the metaphor, within the unified conscious. But in the fourth, it's the conscious, though of course the thoroughly transformed conscious, which is contained within the superconscious. So this situation has been completely reversed. Now all this could be represented visually. One is painting pictures, as it were, with words, but it could be done more directly with the brush, with colours. And in fact, it's interesting to observe that Lama Govinda has done this. I remember many years ago I saw a series of what he called abstract paintings, four abstract paintings which represented the four dhyanas, the four states, the four stages of higher consciousness. And as in fact I was thinking over this lecture only this morning, it did occur to me that I could represent the different kinds of experience in these four dhyanas in a diagrammatic form, just in black and white, like a sort of chart, which would make it still more clear, still more tangible, still more palpable, as it were. So much then for the four dhyanas of the world of form. We've spent rather a long time on them because of their central importance for the practice of meditation, for, in fact, the practice of the spiritual path generally.